Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. And welcome to the Shungite Show. It is February 25th, 2020, and my name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit and Mark Joseph. And hi, guys. How are you doing today, Derek?
Good morning. Good morning. Doing well.
Hi, everyone. Doing good. Thanks.
Awesome. So, I'm trying to figure... I meant to look at the... Well, actually, I got the RT thingy up right now. Let me see. Did you get the exact day that this happened, Mark? The meteor?
No, I just saw the video. I didn't pay attention to the date because I kind of just went by what you had said when you messaged me last week.
Yeah, it says 22 February, which was, what, Friday night or Saturday night? What in the heck is that? 22. Okay, that was Saturday. Saturday. At 17:47. I wonder what... That's military time. Yeah? So, it was late Saturday. All right, what we're talking about is... On... Let's see. It was Saturday night, but it was late my time. It was like... after 12, and Michael Henry Dunn sent me a message, but I had friends here, so normally my 2 to 4 morning type of thing wasn't happening. I was trying to fall asleep. I fell asleep, and no sooner do I fall asleep than the phone went ding, 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 you know, message coming in, but I ignored it because I was trying to fall asleep. And so then the next day I remembered, well, when I picked up the phone, I saw the message. So I go on over to see what he's talking about, and I'm on the phone. I don't have the computer opened. And so I look at this picture that he sent me. Now, for anybody that is on chat, not only do you have the RT.com, now anybody out there that at some point wants to see it, it's RT.com, and in the search put Carillion. Carillion, meteorite, K-A-R, Carillion, whatever it is, begins with K. Okay, so, but the promos have, I took the pictures. Now, this was a video, but on my phone, I only saw, what the hell? It says I just got dumped from Skype, just a second. Oh, for heaven, oh, wow. Okay, son of a gun, Skype just dropped me, and now I have to go find, well, isn't this interesting? Oh, for heaven's sakes. All right, I think I'm probably still alive, and those guys probably don't know what happened to me, and I'm having a problem because I've got to look up the, jeez. You know, those let you in there things. What do you call them? Passwords. Okay, PayPal. I have to find my list, and normally it's up, but today, of course, it wasn't up. Okay, so Skype. Will there, yeah, okay. All right, done that. Next, enter password. Jeez, I have never had this happen in all the time I've been doing radio. Not this particular, uh-oh. Let me see what the problem is here. All right. Okay, we're in. All right. Now we got to let it set up here. Okay.
Synchronous.
Can you guys? Okay. Can you guys? You guys can hear me now, right?
We got you now.
Mm-hmm. I got dropped off of Skype. I had to sign back in. Yeah, and then of course I had to find the password. But we've been live the whole time. I've been babbling to the audience as I tried to do this. So
we just assumed you weren't being heard, so we were just talking anyway. So I think it's probably all good.
Okay, well, they didn't hear you, but they did hear me because you were gone.
All right. You were probably more interesting, so that's okay.
No, I started to tell them the story about how I came in contact with this information, and I'm not really sure when I got dropped off. But, okay, Saturday night, I get the message from Michael Henry Dunn. You know, he just sends me this link. And it was to RT.com. And if you go there and you put in Carillion meteorite, you'll find the article. It is in chat. The link, direct link, is in chat. And it will be under the YouTube. However, the only thing, the phone wasn't giving me the video. All it gave me was this picture. And for those people that can see the promo that I put up today, or you're in chat, you can look at the promo and see the imaging. I took shots of the video, okay? Now, and you guys have it here in front of us. So, what is happening now? Okay, she's... Thank you, Dolly. Thank you, Dolly.
What fun is live radio?
No, Dolly was talking to me to let me know that I was still alive. Anyway, I appreciate that, Dolly. Okay, so now what happened, and okay, Mark and I have already discussed this. So, Mark, we've already discussed this. But what happened was that I only saw a picture, like in on the promo, like the second picture, this blue light, and you know, you're trying to figure out, well, what is this thing? And so I read the RT article, and for heaven's sakes, we could just read it because it is up here, and you'll hear exactly what I knew. Meteorite illuminates skies over northern Russia with mysterious blue light. Well, that's what we're looking at, this mysterious blue light. Residents of a small town in the Northern Republic of Karelia marveled at a blue, bright blue sphere lighting up the town with an otherworldly blue light as a meteorite fell in the area. And what we've got in front of us is a camera that was just, you know, like a security camera or whatever. And it's amazing that that camera was focused right there. So, I mean, right off the get, this could have gone and nobody would have seen it. Okay, it's the middle of the night, but this camera caught this sucker. And we see the entire scenario of it coming in like it did. And then if you look at just the third picture on the top, it starts to heat up. Now these, you can, you know, so when you see the video, stop the video and actually look at this. You can see that by the third picture, there is some kind of stuff being thrown off. Okay, that means it's heating up. It's hitting the atmosphere. Whatever's coming in is hitting the atmosphere. And then, boom, it explodes. Okay, and you see a little bit more debris and then nothing. And this happens within a very short few seconds, okay? So, but on Sunday morning, or a Sunday afternoon after the guests left, I looked at the message again, and I said, okay, I just seen this picture. No, I didn't. I laid down. I needed to take a nap because I hadn't slept well at all that night. And I lay down, and I pulled back the image, the second picture here of the thing coming in. Now, when Mark and I were talking about it, Mark says to me, well, you're a remote viewer. Did you remote view it? And yes, I did. But let me tell you what happened. Okay, so I'm going like, well, let me just remote this. All right, so I focus on the picture. Now the picture becomes, and this is we're talking about the meteorite, but I also want you to kind of think in terms of what I'm saying regarding remote viewing, because everybody can do it. Everybody can remote view. It's just you have to believe you can, and then to kind of get in the right mindset. And the right mindset is to clear your mind of anything you might think you're about to see. Okay, because you want to get your mind out of the picture. And that's the hardest thing to do in remote viewing, is to try to just become the observer. So I am essentially just becoming the observer, but I'm using that photograph and that place in that northern city to come into the remote, okay, at the time that it's happening, because I'm looking at the photograph. Photographs freeze things in a timeline, okay, so it's frozen, it's easy to get to, and I'm looking at it, but I'm looking at it in my mind, that picture. What I said was, take me to the ground where it hit. Because even if it blew up, I didn't even at the time know it had blown up like that. Okay, and in the article it says they don't know if it blew up or if it hit the ground. So I said, go take me to where it hit. And all of a sudden, I'm in the Shungite field. Now, I go to the Shungite field a lot, but I'm in the Shungite field, and there's a blue glow all over the place. I mean, it was just... And remember, I haven't seen the video. There's a blue glow all over the Shungite. It's just reflecting blue. So at that moment, I fell asleep, I think. Because sometimes I've been stopped from looking at something because my guides don't want me to go there, or it's dangerous, or I don't know why they stop you, but sometimes you just can't do it. So, but this time I'm in this field, it's blue all around me, I'm looking around, and the next thing I know, I'm waking up. And I didn't really think much about it right then. You know, I fell asleep, I was trying to get things going again. Then I go and I finally look at the video. And in the meantime, I was talking with Mark about this. I told him, you know, exactly. Mark, you can cut in here anytime you want. Do I have you on mute? Let me just make sure that you guys aren't on mute. I don't think you are. Okay. So I'm telling Mark about, you know, and I thought my interpretation of the remote was that even though I was focusing in on this picture and what was happening, I had inadvertently gone to the Shungite field because after the fact, I pulled up the maps and I figured, you know, well, where are these, compared to Shunga? Shunga is a little village that the Shungite field was named up. So I pulled up Shunga and the city that this camera was at. And I found out that they were only 102 miles or 164 kilometers apart. That's like a two and a half hour trip between the two, which is extremely very close when you've got a meteorite that's crashing into the atmosphere. So when I realized how close they were, I thought, I thinking back on how did I set up the remote, and I set up the remote to go where it landed. All right, now, if this camera is actually looking to the south, then it fell on Shunga, or over the Shungite field, which would then answer my reason why I went there. I said, send me where it landed. And I never looked up because I didn't know it had exploded in the remote. I didn't know by that. I hadn't actually seen the video. All I was working off was the photograph. I didn't know it had blown up, so I never looked up. I was just looking in front of me at the field that was the same blue that you see in this was all over the place. So that at that point, you know, I mean, this was kind of a weird thing, but at that point I began to really wonder, was this, and we need to find somebody that can find that building that church or whatever it is and see, you know, was it pointing south or north? It doesn't really matter because it still would have been an effect on the shungite field, but, you know, if they've actually targeted the shungite field, and I say they targeted, okay, because when I later went back, I said, let me find out what this thing is. So I go back to the field. Now, once you've gone into an area like that, you've tainted the area. Your previous being there in the etheric at the time can give you a little bit of a different perspective because you've already been there. So I was careful not to go back to the spot that I had been standing when all this occurred in the first remote. I actually went rather airborne, and I went, and it's also timing, because I had been there when it exploded. I went there before it exploded, okay, so that I could get a clear image of the meteorite coming in and then follow it back. And you should be able to do this. This should be a no-brainer. Just follow it back because remember, time is an illusion. But what happened was that I started following it back, and I thought I was going to see a craft. I honestly believed that this was an intentional event and that there's some kind of ship out there, who knows what, that has sent this, and it's this thing to us, okay, whatever it was. But instead of that, all I saw was this. It was like I got into the mind of somebody. It was like I saw the consciousness that sent it to us. And then I couldn't get any further. That was it. And it's not like I could tell you who it was or what it was, but it was, I telepathically was linked, basically, at that point, to whoever sent this to us. Okay, now, that's my story. That's the way I saw it. Any of you can do what I'm telling you you can do, which is remote view it. You know, in your own mind, go, what was that thing? And just wait to see what you get. Don't try to, you know, figure it out. Just observe it. And if anybody in Russia hears us and you live there, go find that. Go find out if it was north or south, the camera was pointed, or east or west. But that, anyway, so I'm going to turn it over to you guys. What do you think?
Go ahead, Derek. Mark. No. What we were talking about, we got cut off earlier.
Okay, I was just relating it to what some alternative media say about, I don't know, I guess more of the mythological aspect of things falling from the sky, where Earth is in a kind of quarantine, and things are allowed and not allowed in the area. It shows like Other Side of Midnight, or Richard Hoagland always talk about this idea of like the moon being towed in, as opposed to, or being created as opposed to a natural formation, and you know, Earth being watched and things like that. So it is curious that rather than how Nancy was pulled towards the person or thing who sent it, as opposed to, oh, it's just things falling in the sky from Russia, which happens all the time, which is the obvious explanation. But if you're RVing, remote viewing, then you know that usually gives a more deeper dimensional angle of it. That's my take.
Yeah, that's also what's interesting is Dolly made a comment in chat about perhaps one aspect of it was to draw some attention towards, you know, Shanghai, Curly, that area and everything that's happening. So I thought that was a good point that she made as well.
Well, we're dealing with 1,000 kilometers of shungite, okay? The meteorite there hit the Earth in Karelia. The shungite mother lode is a carbon-based composite mineral. So my belief is that carbon is able to capture energies and hold on to them. Much the same way water does. Water's probably a lot better at it. But carbon pulls in all sorts of energies and holds it. And my feeling is that somebody essentially laced the shungite with another energy field. Who that is, I don't feel that they're negative. I feel they were there to help us, to do something. To do something to the shungite, because shungite is so magical, you know. But it may be that an added energy was given to the shungite field because we have, as a humanity, we are so connected to it. All over the world, people are working with shungite. And that you've got this grid of shungite beings. I mean, what's his name? The galactic historian.
Andrew Barkis.
Andrew Barkis.
Yes, okay. He talked about shungite. This is an interesting story. The girl that was with me before, Stephanie, she was cleaning house, and all of a sudden she got a download, Andrew Barkis, turn on the computer. And so she followed it and turned on, actually it was Dave Corso. She felt and saw him when he says, go to this thing. Okay, so she turns it on and finds out he's starting up a radio show. I mean, he just had started up. It was a continuing radio show, but the show had just started. So she makes a call in, and they answer the phone right away. So they put her in, okay, well, we'll get back to you. Just stay on the line. And then finally, Andrew Barkis gets on, and she says, can you explain shungite? And he went into a whole little 15-minute discussion of shungite. And what he said was that shungite has the energy signature of every mineral that's ever been on the planet, and that we are all going to be shungite beings. Didn't get into really what a shungite being was, but he went off onto his you know, light things and got kind of complicated. But the key to me was that, yes, shungite does have all those energies. So what the heck did they just lace us with? And my feeling is that we as a community of shungite beings have gotten to an energy point where we're going higher. We're going, you know, where there's layer upon layer upon layers of energies that we are going to become attuned with and to be able to work with. And this happens. Okay. Now, Saturday night when I was on the radio, which would have been about, you know, in the same time frame that this all happened, I got feeling really weird. Like I felt really out of body. I was having a hard time staying in the conversation. I physically felt like my body was not grounding right, that there was something really, really wrong. Not wrong, but different. Let me put it to you that way. But I got through the show, okay? And then I went over to my neighbor's for dinner. And the whole time I was there, I was, like, not engaged in anything. I kept, what is wrong with me? You know, like, something is very, very different than it was a few hours before. Now I can say, well, good heavens, if the shungite mother load got blasted with some new energy, and I've got, there's only a handful of people anywhere in the world outside of Karelia that have as much shungite on their property and surrounding them, and then waltz shungite devices all over the place. You know what I'm saying? It's like, really? So if there was a change, it would have been a whack that I got that could have completely disoriented my body, because it was later on that night I started to balance out. It didn't last very long, but it was something that I noticed, not knowing that this was happening. So people, if you're feeling, or you're hearing what I'm saying and you went, geez, you know, she's right, I didn't feel really stable on Saturday night either, It may just be that you're so tied to the energy of Shungite that the Shungite got laced with some new beautiful blue energy. And I don't exactly know. I don't know at all exactly what it is. But we have definitely had an upgrade, in my opinion.
So, also, just to add to that, in the chat room here, Dolly, who does the shows with you, Say What, and Cosmic Reality, who also has psychic abilities, but she commented in the chat room, because I asked her about her posse, her guides, if they saw anything too, and she said, I'm hearing that there was a ship that was in trouble and needed help from Shungite. It was following the Shungite and did receive what it needed. Also, more Shungite was arriving to replenish and add more to Earth. So, yeah, that goes in line with what you're saying, too. So that's a nice synchronicity coming off of Dark of the Moon.
Yes, you were impressed that it was the Dark of the Moon. Can you explain that?
So in doing a lucid dream work over the years and OBE, there's a consistent pattern, at least with my journaling, that the dreams at the very least get more vivid for me. Like if anything were to happen automatically without intention of doing dream work or anything, at the very least dreams are always vivid. The day before the new moon, the black moon, and the day after, and the night of. And so I just got the vibe or intuition that I should do more intent work, if you will, like law of attraction stuff or energy work. And it acts more of a gateway for me, inner gateway, and a springboard to manifestation. And it's like, oh, that's an interesting timing in terms of, you know, when the meteorite hit. And I like the fact that Dolly said it was kind of giving us a show, the glow, the timing of the flash. So that had some kind of meaning. Yeah, Dolly said here in the chat, the glow was to make sure the event got attention, bringing more attention to Shungite. I did try to look in Facebook and Twitter to see if there was any commentary anybody could add. And even in the article itself online, you can scroll down to people's comments. And it was more general stuff about meteorites and things falling in Russia all the time. But, it was interesting timing, at the very least.
Well, the dark, when you got a new moon, they tell you in a lot of the old thought that you should plant on the new moon, because that's the beginning of a manifestation period. Just so that's why you would be attracted to it. You know, that's when you set out your intentions and boom, by the full moon, supposedly, the plants are growing 30 days later or 26 days later, and you have set in motion an intention. So that's interesting. And it is interesting that, you know, it was at that particular, I mean, that particular time over that particular area. You just can't say, well, they fall on Russia all the time. Yes, they fall all over the place all the time. But this is too in your face, in my opinion. So, Derek, are you detecting any change? You've got a lot more Shungite even than I do. Are you aware that there might be a change to the Shungite?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm sitting here holding one of the cosmic silver pieces while I'm listening to you guys talking. And before I even get into that, what I was going to say too was that's funny. The Shungite sitting here just kind of vibrating in my hand, shaking as I'm getting distracted. I just lost my entire train of thought. Very interesting. But one thing I do want to comment while I try and figure out what the heck I was just thinking about, and that completely caught me off guard, was the Shungite come in when I did look at it from various perspectives, the image, the video you're talking about. What I got from it was directed, so it was a chosen spot to be. But after that, I didn't get a whole lot more on what it could have been actually, or, you know, who was tied into it, sort of thing. So that was actually interesting to me that I didn't get anything. But then from the energy perspective, which ties into what your question was just now, and what Mark was saying as far as the moon and plants growing from. So, and I wasn't aware of this because I hadn't read that information you talked about, Nancy, on the energies with the full moon, the new moon, and how they change. But when I look at it energetically, for example, there's less energy, or I can almost say pressure, on the seeds. So there's less holding, or less blankets or layers on them. So they're more easily able to sprout and start going up. So that would make sense why people would do that, from a growing perspective, that is. But then when I look at it from the, because Mark had mentioned his journaling, I thought, well, you know what? Wait a minute. I've got something I can look at and compare dates and see the timings. And so from my perspective, what it is less channels. So how do I explain this? That we're picking up at once out there. Frequencies, lots of ways of looking at it. It's less scattered, less dense at these times that we're talking about, which is also when the Shungite entered. So again, this is tough to really get a visual across. But again, it's, I think, layers of frequencies, all of them playing a different channel or song. And what it did was calm them all down, so there was less distraction among them, kind of thing. So I don't know if that made any sense, but on the energetic feeling, that would make sense also why maybe your OBEs, out-of-body experiences, Mark, were happening maybe more clear to you, or you were getting in that state easier. And I have the same experiences, by the way. I just never tied it into that in the moon. I just never looked at it from that perspective. But that's really interesting that they would bring in a new, and there was a new frequency on that object above Shungite. So that's where it ties into your question, Nancy. Yes, there's a difference. And I don't have a whole lot of input on that yet, but it's a faster shake. So when I was asking that, that's why it started shaking in my hand. I said, I need some way. So this is a little behind the scenes talk here. As you were asking me, I'm like, okay, I need some way of describing this. And then the nugget, and it's about a palm-sized piece I'm holding, just started vibrating really fast in my hand. And then in the visual, it pulled tighter. The think of a blanket with a bunch of stitches. It pulled it tighter. So I don't know. I think they'd call it a more dense stitch pattern. And that's what I saw in the frequencies around me when it happened. So I don't know if either of you have input on that, but what it gave me, and it could be translated kind of like what Mark was saying, more clarity. So again, pulling the stitches or frequencies together. So I had a more compatible playlist, let's say. So it was interesting. So I'll keep experiencing and share.
It's more coherent.
That's good.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's also much higher. Well, not much higher, but it's a higher, it's a purer signal. You know, it's like less noises in the signal. Would that make sense? When you got radio and you got all that staticky stuff, okay, it's like it's gone. The signal is strong and pure. Shungite energy. Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it does. And I'm still sitting here trying to experience on different levels and seeing what it is. So it's kind of like tasting that first bite of a new ice cream. It's not a bad thing right away by any means, but there's subtle things in there still. So it's one of those things. There's lots of hints and subtleties, looks like.
I think it's an indication that we're about to go into hyperdrive.
Can you give a definition of that? Hyperspace, hyperdrive?
Hyperspace is what, okay, when we were talking about 3, 6, and 9, and 3, 6, and 9 is very important to Tesla. We know that when you take the three nuggets, you get a more cohesive or coherent field. Now, what does coherent mean? Well, if you say to somebody, you're incoherent, well, it's the opposite of that, okay? And coherent is a stronger, it's more connected, so that everything, the three nuggets are now vibrating in unison instead of separately, and it holds together. And we've got Carillion photography of this. I talk about it in the book. So when you've got that kind of coherent three, then you add the six, and you have, you know, another three, so you've got two piles of three. The six is an energy that is very grounding. Okay, there is a link between the two, but it's nothing like what happens when you add another three, and so you've got the nine. Because the only way I can explain what happens when I feel that field is that it's hyperspace. Now, what is hyperspace? I'm not really sure. It's beyond the etheric. Okay, and I know that people talk in terms of dimensions, and you've got the fourth dimension and fifth dimensions. To me, those aren't really accurate descriptions of what you find in an energy universe. It's not so much layers, it's almost areas. Okay, so there are layers of it, but within... Okay, so let's say we're playing in the dimensional state, and you're going from the third to the fourth to the fifth, you know, and you're working that way up. Well, that's only one line of reality. There's another reality that's hyperspace. It's like we've got the 3D here, but we've also got the quantum field. There's different places of different energies and different universes, almost, you know. I mean, it's like it's a different place of being. And hyperspace, when you get into hyperspace, when I'm in the field of a 369 field now, it's a portal to hyperspace. And in hyperspace, everything is happening simultaneously, and you're picking it up at the same. It's where you probably go when you die. Because whenever I've entered into that space, I'm aware that any question that I would ask would be instantaneously answered, because I know everything. Everything I could possibly know, I know. Now, I'm not recalling it in my 3D mind, conscious level mind. But I know that everything that is out there, we all have access to. But when you're in hyperspace, you're actually have access to it. It's a very different mindset, the way the mind is working, your consciousness is working. And there is, okay, in the 3D, you've got the concept and the feeling and the identification and knowledge of a 3D body that you're somehow locked into. In hyperspace, you're everywhere. You know, and I've heard people who have done some amazing out-of-body experiences, and when they described it, if now I would say, oh, they were in hyperspace. When I heard it, I didn't understand what they were talking about. But this feeling of you're everywhere at once. So I don't know that I gave you a description of hyperspace. I can only give you a description of what my interpretation is when I've entered into it. And that's why, you know, I suggested to Derek that he not worry about the 6 and 9 versions of the cosmic silver shungite. Because when you've got the three energies together at the 3D level, it's working for you. You're part of it. It's a 3D energy. When you go to six, you're in a different. You're very grounded. You're semi connected, but it's almost like just a stepping stone to get you to that hyperspace. But when you're into that 9 energy field, it's not necessarily helpful for an average 3D person. Okay, I mean, I wouldn't go out to hyperspace and play out there. To me, it's boring. I know everything, everything I know. I know, you know, I'm in the game of the 3D. And that's where the action is. So hyperspace is kind of boring to me. Because there's no challenge in it. You know everything. You can go anywhere. You can be anything. That's probably where we go when we die. I don't know. But anyway, we sure are rambling here.
No, not at all. I'm following the trail. So I get the part about the 3D, the denseness of this plane. But there's this idea of standing in more than one circle, as in, like, not so much shamanically, but we do have access to those fields depending how what we choose. But when you said hyperspace, I got the idea of 4D, what people say we're transitioning into or how it can have access to, or maybe the quantum field, and especially the part where you said that's where when people transition or pass on, that's where they go. But also in, like, what do you call it, blurring the borders of other states of awareness, there's a link between those who dream, those who die, and those who dart from the sky, as in UFOs, which can also be, defined as an unidentified family of origin. And I got that phrase from Whitley Strieber's Dreamland show on unknowncountry.com. Great, you know, weekly show, by the way, which I subscribe to and recommend for others. But no, I'm just relating what you're saying in terms of how we can define and utilize this hyperspace term, and in relation to this meteorite and the dark of the moon, we have a wider accessibility to that level of awareness during the dark of the moon. So with dreaming, you know, for me, this last weekend, I was able to fly more in my dreams, which, you know, connotes more control. And
you know, Mark, not to interrupt you, but you know, why did we get to the question of hyperspace? And now that I'm looking at this thing, I'm going back to where, you know, I'm trying to find the source. It was like, to be honest with you, like the mind of God. And this may have been something that, you know, erupted from hyperspace. This is not your normal thing. It was not good guys or bad guys. This was a divine intervention, in my opinion. They laced shungite with some amazing energies that is now accessible to everybody that's got shungite or even plays with a shungite weave. Does that make sense? I know it sounds really out there, but as you were talking to me, I'm like seeing the face again. It's more like feeling. It's like, it's so overpowering. It's you know, but I did. At the time that I went back there, it was like, this didn't even feel like whoever did this wasn't in my universe.
Okay, no, that makes sense, especially last week, or, no, I don't know if it was last week, but the other shows that you do, you talked about the armor of God. No, we did talk about that last week in the Shungite show, of Shungite being like an armor. And so if coming from the mind of God, and then Shungite is a kind of armor of God, or Gaia, if you will. So what steps can we take, you know, for the average Shungite listener, because they don't know your background, which is 40 plus years in electronic energy warfare in Army intelligence, I believe, and you're a remote viewer and energy worker. So they need to know that. And how can the average Shungite user access the grid, you know?
Okay, we've got another, let's say, player in this scenario, okay? And that was the Shungite Ho'oponopono device that Walt made and sent me. Okay, so two Tuesdays ago, we were talking about it. He tells me he made it. I said, I want it. He sent it to me. So by the next show, I had it. And as I picked it up and I'm talking to Walt and telling him what I felt, which was amazing. I mean, he's got out there, I don't know how many, I've got dozens and dozens of energy devices on all sorts of frequencies that he has sent me over the last 6 years. When he sent me this one, it was, he continually makes changes to the design. In this one, in the resin, in the plastic, he put a lot of glass, broken up little chips, tiny chips of glass. And this field is so condensed and coherent, you know, it's just holding together, that it almost has a texture to it. So anyway, so I'm holding on to this thing, and I was led to put it under the microphone. And then we, you know, all of a sudden, Dolly, and she's in chat, she'll tell you, all of a sudden she felt the energy, okay, because it's coming over the internet. It's on the microphone. It's all energy, okay? Now, the field of radius that is the effective field for this device is over 240 miles. So Dolly is actually in the field. So then we got to thinking about, Dolly wants one, you know, but I mean, Walt can't make one of these things for everybody out there. But we have learned about etheric doubling, which means that if you have something in the 3D, there's a blueprint in the etheric for this very same thing. And all you have to do is say, I want a double, and you'll have an etheric double, an energy. It's real. It's an energy that is not vibrating at the 3D vibration, so it feels solid to you. It's actually in the etheric vibration, which is higher, which you're not, it's higher than you can see it. Okay, but you can feel it. So what we did was I told people, I said, look, you can make one of these things. And that's maybe what this is all about. Because what is this energy? What is this energy that, well, is contained in a Shungite energy device? Well, it's defined within the Hawaiian tradition as being, the definition he said, Walt said, was make it right. Okay, so the word ho ono pono pono is a word that says make it right. Now, if you look up the definition, they get into all sorts of make it right. Does that mean, you know, be forgiven by people? I mean, it gets into a whole lot of things. When I heard it, when I, you know, got involved with this thing, it was make it right. Whatever's wrong, make it right. So, and that was last Tuesday. That was a week ago. So, if we've done this, and that show has gotten well over 500 views on YouTube, never mind how many people listen to the archives. So, if you've got all these people that really listened to us and did an etheric double, all of a sudden, you've got a lot of energy being drawn into our reality saying, make it right. And maybe that affirming of make it right gave permission to our higher guides to actually give us an ingredient of energy that we need to make the next leap in our own energetic evolution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so just to give some reference points for listeners here, I do keep like a, what do you call it? Like a timing log of favorite themes and topics you guys talk about in the other shows. So what you're talking about is the Cosmic Reality Show on February 18th. You guys talked about the Ho'oponopono Resonator, like the background of it, the creation, and then its effects at about an hour and 31 minutes in of last week's show. So people, that's already up on your YouTube, so people can look at that. And the day after, the 19th, you talked about it in Radio 5G at an hour and 20 minutes in, and of, you know, same thing, but expanded a little bit more. Other previous dates to the 11th Cosmic Reality was talked about, I think, hour and 40 minutes in, I believe. And the 4th February, hour and 37 minutes in. So all that's YouTube accessible, I believe, of the Ho'oponopono Resonator. But people can also access the tone of that topic or the Ho'oponopono in I think if they type the word tone in Cosmic Reality and Shungite Reality, the Facebook groups, and it's free. You could download it on your phone and then play it as like a, you know, your workspace or whatever. But you were talking about the etheric double, and so because when you post the YouTube videos, you also put up graphics in each show, and you have the graphic of the resonator, the newest one, which is a Shungite advanced device for people's reference from newparadigmtools.net, Walt's site. So anyway, if you go to last week's show on YouTube and look at the visual, and there's a kind of, I guess, technique of reaching out onto your computer screen and touch the device. And that gives you access to it. Or you could do it visually, and then in as far as making an etheric double, for me it just felt more intuitive and natural to touch it with my finger on the screen, and then like feel like I grabbed it and then plop it down next to my computer, as far as making an etheric double to play with and sending out to my area. So that's what I got from that.
I like your tie-in of the visualizations as you're doing it. So, you know, that's a whole lot of energy to it. That's interesting. I was gonna mention too, as far as when we were talking about that meteorite coming in over the Shungite deposit and then out of body experiences and dimensions and things. Another way that may help others visualize it would be, think about a mason jar and dumping some allspice in there. So, and I don't know what allspice is made of, but let's just say, I assume, a bunch of spices. So this is my perspective, at least. So when I do the out-of-body experiences or astral projections or things, I'm not really going anywhere. What I'm doing is choosing which, and again, this allspice analogy, which of the spices in my environment I want to focus on. And we can call them dimensions or levels or frequencies or anything like that. So it's really manifesting the environment or the situation or anything like that around you is how I experience it. So when you see it from that perspective, then instantaneously you can think, well, I'm done focusing on spice number 3. I want to focus on spice number 17 or something. And maybe then all those other spices floating around in this mason jar of water analogy here fade out. Spice number whatever, 17 or 13, comes in, and those will make your experience or environment. And maybe in that spice number or frequency is where your spirit guides hang out, or maybe in another one. So it's just another way of looking at it, thinking about, well, I can manipulate all this Oregon energy in my area, and there's other energies as well, other spices. Well, we can focus on different ones. So what I'm kind of bringing out here is that meteor coming in was one of these new spices added to allspice, and it got our attention and focus. So now if we hold it, keep focusing on that, we can, you know, go from there with the whole quantum entanglement and expand on it. I hope that somewhat made sense. I was just trying to give another way of looking at the whole dimensions and frequencies, that we don't really need to see it as going anywhere, but manifesting it in our current environment, sort of. Again, picking which spice and allspice you want to focus on. And spice number 1 says the 3D. Well, the more you focus on other spices, the more those other ones come in, and you get the subtle differences and explore new spices or frequencies.
Listen, I have the tone that is equivalent to the energy frequency in the device itself. I'm not going to play the full 5 minutes, but I'm going to play just a little bit so you can understand what we're talking about when we're talking about tones, because sound is frequency. You know, so you can match the frequency of a sound with the energy coming off of an energy device, and that's what we're talking about. So if you want, people who are driving, you might want to turn down your volume and not hear this. You can come back to it. I just don't want, because it's an incredibly nice sound. Although Dolly, when she first heard it, didn't like it, and then she decided, no, it's pretty good. But here, here's a taste of it. Okay, I'm about to shut it off. What do you think of that, guys?
That sounds different from the one I play that I downloaded. Did you project that out differently than, like, from a speaker or something?
Well, it's coming directly from my computer out there, but remember, this whole system is charged. It's sitting on top of the device. You know,
oh,
but
so you have the resonator.
The resonator is under the microphone, so it's all tied in. So it inevitably would have resonated with the device itself. So yeah, because I mean that I've listened to it quite a few times, but that time it was like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it had more of a ripple resonating depth. I also have my. Shungite Rose Heart AC, what do you call it? AC power, glass powdered resonator under my microphone here. So I don't know if you guys are picking that up.
Oh, well, we're really blasting people. You know, but you can get that. Just, yes, go to cosmicreality.net, go to the search and put Healing Tone, and you will get the page that has all of the tones that, well, not all of them, but a selection of tones that Walt has put together that are in many ways healing tones. I mean, he's got them for specific ailments. So you can listen to those. There's one on Shungite. Be interesting to see. I'm gonna have him tonight. We're on Cosmic Reality with Walt tonight at 6 to 8, and I'm gonna get him to see what the frequency is of Shungite right now, because he would be able to pick up if it's changed or not. If my supposition and my storytelling, remember this is all for entertainment purposes only, in my storytelling, I'm saying to you guys that Walt's made himself another device. He's got the sound out there, the frequency. We start to work with it, and the next thing we know, we get hit with a meteorite that could have essentially been targeting that Shungite field itself from the mind of somebody that might be in hyperspace. But I think that it's the frequency of make it right. And I suspect we're in for a very, very interesting ride that will not be painful. It might be a little exhilarating. My thoughts.
So there is a resonance to the phrase make it right.
Yes, and I'll tell you something else. When a couple of weeks ago when we started this, I was like, okay, I don't want to know where this came from, this word. You know, I'm not thinking about the prayer thing, I'm just thinking about the word, because I remember it's energy. So I see somebody teaching the ancient Hawaiians teaching it to them, and I thought it was ETs, because, you know, well, it must be ETs. And so ETs came down and taught them a frequency that at the 3D will make it right. Okay, so but then sometimes you sort of get a download when you're not even thinking about something, and all of a sudden I got that download thing, and I went, oh, it wasn't ETs, it was Atlanteans. which were in touch with ETs, but, you know, it was Atlanteans, and I'm going like, oh, this is very much one of those secret things of the secret societies that have been, you know, behind the scenes for thousands and thousands of years. So that made me, you know, like, very much more interested in what was happening, because I'm not sure that that's the exact energy. Knowing human beings, if you had a magical incantation that would essentially give you the ability to manifest all sorts of things, you would try to keep that from everybody else. So my inability to be able to pronounce that word right, it's like every time I go to pronounce it, I get jammed. And my suspicion is that there may be a slightly different way of saying that frequency that is even more powerful. But whatever happened there in Shanghai on Saturday night, that word that we're using now is the one that's going to work. Ho'oponopono. See, I can say it now. Okay, it's top of the hour. Let's just take us a little break here. And I started looking for something to do, to play, and I stumbled on the fact that I had... I'm just going to play something that makes me feel good. We'll be right back.
Early in the morning, when it used to be a school, a tiny business left. Don't let the cattails pull you down in the bottom when nothing is born. Keeps a silver dollar with your face there on. Wish I could trace the frowning compass of your mouth. Drop a mercury down a Roman train in summer moth. Last time about me on them, you'll see you for centuries to come. They'll steal your crowns for the sun. Don't feel it too shy when you see your face on them money. Sleeps a red planet in a galaxy of a lion star. Ripples every dinner and a tiny machine. Buckled up on me along a carpet of limestone. Wish I could stand in the spray at the cliff of your sleeper bay. Ocean of naked, serrated marble crushing again.
Last
sparkle roll, you'll feel extinction. You see your pain rise in money.
And welcome back to the Shungite Radio Show. It's February 25th, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Mark Joseph and Derek Condit. And we've been talking about this meteorite that fell over the Shungite field in Karelia, Russia. Is there anything else you guys might have thought to say about that before we go on to something else?
For me, just following up on that idea of etheric double, people can also even mentally, visually, with the whole putting your finger on the computer screen with the YouTube graphic you put up, so people can do that with the flash of the meteorite too. So I kind of pictured that game Twister, where like you put, you know, one body part, hand, foot, on each, I forget how the game goes, on each circle. So for me, I visualized like putting each finger on each of Walt's latest devices. So some of these aren't even in his sight yet, but where it was talked in Cosmic Reality. So putting one finger on the glass resonator, one on the Ho'oponopono resonator, another one on the thought resonator, and then his Shungite red light device. And then the fifth finger on the meteorite as it flashed. And then kind of, so as you visualize that with each of your fingers, breathe all those in and feel it like course through your veins into your heart. And then out into all of your appendages, and then shooting it out to like whatever you feel needs balancing, a person, situation, workspace, whatever. Just something to play with and try. I just got that visual and feel to share that.
Thank you very much. That's awesome. That really is.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Another way you can do it, you can do what he says, but if you want to, because when you're thinking etheric, okay, a device that's in the etheric is always right there, right with you, all the time, you know. But a lot of people, they need to be able to focus on something. And so you can take a rock, a teddy bear, another device that you might have, and just see the etheric settling in that one spot so that you can, you know, have more of a 3D interaction with it, if that makes sense. Yes?
Yeah, no, that does make sense.
Okay, at the end of, well, at the midpoint, Derek and I were talking, and There's been people who have accused me of having this show for advertising the Shungite store. Well, yes. Yes, I want you to go to the Shungite store, ours, Cosmic Reality, and buy our products, because I believe in our products. I understand what is behind the science. And Derek and I were talking about it, and Derek, you're finding out there that people are copying, which we knew was going to happen, copying what we have as products, and they're making mistakes with it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've seen a few examples of that. One I can bring up would be an example of the Shungite rubber I saw recently, and it makes sense that people would be, you know, making their own. You know, we've always encouraged that. But, you know, hopefully they make the tool correctly where it's not doing harm. So what I'm kind of getting at here as an example would be, I was shown a piece of what they're calling, I don't know what they call it, but in essence, the Shungite rubber, where we put the Shungite and the silver powder mixture, the S4 powder, in the rubber and mix that out, made of a non-toxic type of rubber. Where what I saw in this example were particles of shards of, say, copper and things. So in essence, they were trying to make an organ device in this piece of Shungite rubber that they were making with these little metal particulates. And there were a few things I could see wrong with that, not to mention just one. I mean, the particulates would be, you know, these ones I saw were sharp. Yes, you could do it different ways, But really, when you're doing that and you're trying to make an organite device, it's really a layering of the materials in the right way. And this was more of a, well, let's throw everything that we can think of in the mix. And there was a huge list of ingredients in the shungite rubber, from various crystal powders to metals and different things, not necessarily layered, but just kind of mixed in and blended. And when you look at it on the frequency level, so when I mentioned these different crystals or crushed rocks and powders of different things, they're all an ingredient. And some of those ingredients, of course, mix or work differently with other ones. So in this case, it's sort of like just throwing, you know, again, everything you can in the kitchen sink at it, trying to get that key trigger that somebody would know in there is how it appeared to me. And when I looked at it energetically, it was just that, just a big disruption energetically. So yes, something would be felt, but it's just like, you know, eating a maybe a food you don't like. Well, sure, you're going to taste it, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you. So I see things like that happening. And that's just one example. And then the magnets as well are duplicated to where they're maybe not paying attention to the, you know, north-south poles, or maybe telling them to put magnets in other places. So, but there's some of that going on. So we always like to try and give more input on, you know, when we find that happening.
So what would you recommend people to, how to differentiate and measure something in the 3D world physically, as opposed to using intuition or guides, you know, something more hands-on to.
And that's going to be an understanding thing. So really just expanding each individual's understanding of all of these, from physics to metaphysics. And of course, there's no separation there. And then when you, for testing, I know it's tough, because how do you do it sort of thing? Well, that's where I've picked up these unique devices, like the experimental life force meter that reads the organ fields and we'll give readings off of that. So then I can hold some of these things near that and show differences. And again, we'll get more video of that online, but I understand that's not something everybody has. So really, I don't know the answer to that, as far as, cause there's good intent. When you look at, say, the intent level of the frequency, it's not like, you know, everybody's out there trying to do harm or anything like that. It's just everybody's, you know, trying, which is fantastic. But so that's a tough spot to be in. So I don't know, I guess really it's each individual's intuition, even like you said, other than that, but really just understandings, meaning expand your understanding of, so if somebody's looking to buy a piece of shungite rubber for healing, well then look into all the different manufacturers of it, ours, other ones, and try and go through logically to the level of your understanding what it is. So if there's silver in there, see how that affects the physical field. Well, and I think that makes sense. But if you're talking organ devices, and that would be, think layering of organic materials and then staggering metals in there. Well, if it's all in essence shook up in a jar and then thrown in there and then laid out to dry, you've lost that aspect of it. So now it's not a device. It's a Swiss Army knife that somebody took apart and just threw into a pile and said, here's your device. So there's not a one answer sort of deal, unfortunately. I'm not sure if there's any other things we talked about, Nancy, either, or Mark, that we talked about item-wise or product-wise.
Well, the thing of it is that in my book, your book, Walt's book, Shungite Reality, I bring in the concept of quantum entanglement. And that is an energetic relationship that you develop in many ways, from where you were born to the people you hang out to the things you do. It's quantum entanglement. So every person who has shungite is going to put their signature into it. It's just the way it is. Now, if that person is doing it because they are on the shungite mission of using shungite to enhance people's innate abilities to make another leap in evolution at an energetic / 3D body situation, and if you have somebody who's only in it because they're making money, that's the energy you're going to get. Okay, it's going to be on it. Now, you can take that piece of whatever shungite it is, and you can ask it to clear. Okay? And in most cases, it will clear. It depends on the person. But if you start out with an energy field that is one of real compassion for the humanity that lives on a wonderful, amazing place called Earth, and it's a loving intention that is integral to the product that you receive, you don't have to clean it, and you've got that added energy of love and compassion and empathy and belief in Shungite. So that's why and honestly, I'm not connected to either Derek or Walt's. I don't make money off of either one of them. But I know these people. I know the energies. I know the science. And I know, you know, that what you're getting is, in many cases, going to be extremely beneficial beyond just what Shungite's bringing to you. So you can get Shungite anywhere, but just be aware that this is an energy universe and you have quantum entanglements with everything that you buy and purchase and bring into your home. Okay, so what, because we use this to promote products so that you understand the products, so that you will use the products, Derek is going to start giving us, I'm going to let him explain it, but every week you're going to get sort of a coupon here at the half hour mark. We'll do it after every show, and it's only going to be up for a limited time, but you're going to be able to use that coupon in the store for us to say thank you and to promote you to go to the store more. I mean, we want you to buy this stuff. Derek, why don't you explain what you got going here?
Sure. What we're talking about. So right now for the introductory one, or the, I think, grand opening, because we do have a couple online stores that people may be coming across. So for example, on the mysticalwares.net store, which has all the Cosmic Reality Shungite products, in addition to, I think, polished rocks and gems and sages and crystals, we've made a new Save 10 would be the coupon code you would want, SAVE 10, so 10. And enter that for 10% off your entire order. But as Nancy had mentioned, so that'll be up for the next week or so, and then we'll swap it out each week for different discounts on different items, be it new introduced ones or even old ones that have been around for a while. They're, you know, still very popular. So we will swap that out, and we'll basically have it start and stop on Tuesdays as far as the coupon code. So again, for this initial one, I've already activated that code, SAVE10. You'll save that 10% on your entire order and not a specific product.
Now, you've got the save in capitals. Is it capital dependent?
You know what? Because I'm not sure, I'm going to make two coupons and I'll make one lowercase. So regardless, however you type it, and that'll be done within a minute or so here, it'll be either way, because that's a good point. So,
and that's 10% off the entire order that they would make. Yes?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. And if they place the order at the new Mystical Wear store, there's a lot of different types of items as well. They can tie into their Shungite items, and they're going to get 10% off all of that as well. And we'll keep expanding and offering new things.
So they can go to mysticalwares.net, mystical, MYSTICAL, mystical wares, WARES, net. And they can buy other things beyond Shungite and get their 10% there. And they also can go to cosmicreality.net and get to the Shungite store, and they get the 10% there too?
Absolutely. That's okay. Correct. Uh-huh. Either store, because both have their, you know, options and feel to them. So, nope, they're both up and running with the same discount, so it makes no difference. Go wherever you're comfortable. Again, we'll switch these out all the time and bring in new products that are discounted to make them more available. And we're adding new types and sizes of the cosmic silver nuggets, and that's the Shungite nuggets. Again, we tumble in pure silver for 3 days, so we're hoping to get more of those available, and again, different sizing, so we can make lower cost options available, and we'll be introducing those in the coming days and weeks.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. Mark, we talked about the fact that you had gone and seen Elena Friedland, and I told you that I would put together a short tape so that people could understand a little bit more about her. Do you still want to do that?
Yeah, I had some of the intro bio descriptions. I could read that off, or if you want to play the clip, whichever.
I think we'll play the clip, because that was the question that was asked to her, essentially, is how did you get into this? And for people that aren't familiar with who she is written, she's three books now, and she is, to be honest, I knew about her, but when I listened, I listened to a different tape than the three-hour one. And when I listened to it, I was like, oh my God, she's so good. She's done her homework. So, but it's about not just, 5G. We're not talking Shungite now. We're talking about what is really happening around us that is, includes chemtrails and HAARP and all this other stuff. And this is 12 minutes. But listen to it, because she really knows her stuff. And I have a theory that if you have to use too many words to explain something, you don't understand it. And she is a woman of very few words, and I think she understands it better than most of us. So here, we're going to just listen to it.
I remember when I was about 12 years old, I was living in New York, and I was crossing a street. I was getting ready to cross a street, and I suddenly realized that my initials are EMF. And at that point, I said to myself, oh, electromagnetic frequency, electromagnetic force. Well, that's funny that my initials are the same as that. And now here I am. I'm deep in electromagnetics, which is really what geoengineering is about. It's electrochemistry and bioengineering and electromagnetics. When I was writing some other books of my own, Sub Rosa America, I had files on just about everything you can think of, because I was studying the American government, and because years ago I had tea with President Kennedy in the Rose Garden, and his death had a huge impact on me, as it did my entire generation. We were coming of age, which is a very sensitive, vulnerable time. And we had the assassinations of our three heroes, John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy Jr., Robert Kennedy. So for me, everything in life has been political. We all knew that the CIA had been involved in the assassinations, but we were young, and we had to make our mark in the world the same as everyone else. We're the largest generation in history. And so by the time I came back from England, where I lived for a few years, and moved back to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I had gone to graduate school and gotten a degree in historiography, I met someone who turned out to be destiny's call, you might say. I met the independent scientist Clifford Carnicom. And we, friends and I and his wife and Clifford, we all had breakfast together every few weeks. And Clifford and I would always end up with our heads together going over what he had found. This would have been the early 2000s, mid-2000s. What he had found in the precipitation that he'd collected, the snow, the rain, the dew, and also in his HEPA filter that he and Carol had on their trailer. And this would be in the wake of high-flying jets, commercial, military, both, and the trail that they had left behind them. Clifford knew, he'd been a scientist before for the Department of Defense, and the Bureau of Land Management and had then taken his own way. But he knew that those were not contrails. Those were not condensation trails. So he was interested to see what was coming out of the backs of those jets. He had some equipment. He was very innovative of what he lacked in the very, very high-priced, electronic microscopes and things. He was able to jerry-rig together in order to do his research. And what he discovered was a big shock, and it was fibers. It was filaments falling from the sky that were partially organic. He also found heavy metals, very tiny particles, couldn't see them because he lacked the equipment, but knew they were there. The heavy metals that we're all breathing in now, he had seen those in the mid to late 90s. He isolated the fibers and began to experiment on them, putting them in petri dishes and then adding some sort of environment for them to either grow in, reproduce, die, whatever happened. That's where it began. And he was to my knowledge, he was the only one doing that back that early. So he was the one that got me started in this. I found the fibers in my own body through what he calls the red wine test, where you clean your mouth and then slosh the red wine and spit it into a clean dish, and then you will see probably fibers. And now we call this particular pathogen Morgellons. Clifford had renamed it the cross-domain bacteria because he found that it had all three departments of nature in it. He recognized that it had been genetically engineered, and he set to work dissecting it with various solvents, various methods, because it was very tiny. And I gave him my saliva. There were fibers in it. I gave him my blood, and we put the slide of my blood and about 20 other people's slide under the microscope, and there was a pathogen, a creature, sticking its head into my red blood cells and sucking the iron out of it. So this was definitely got my attention, and that's really where I started. At that time, I did not at all know that the chemtrails, as they're called, the chemical trails, and the ionospheric heater up in Gakona, Alaska, were connected. I had read a book called the 1995 book by Nick Begich and Jean Manning called Angels Don't Play This Harp. And so I was familiar with the harp, but I did not understand the relationship between the trails from the jets and the ionospheric heaters. So when I left New Mexico and returned to the Pacific Northwest, where I am now, and I was asked by a publisher for whom I'd done some work while I was in England, he asked me if I thought I could write a book on chemtrails. So I said, sure, I can, because I now had a feel for it. I didn't just have a file for it. I had a feel for it because of Clifford. So I wrote A Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. It was published in 2014. And then from the research I had done for that, and then the internet that I got involved with, Facebook, and began to meet people who were tracking the same thing, maybe a different aspect of it. And I began to learn an amazing amount, and I began to see, because this always has been my forte, I'm sort of known as the big picture researcher. You know, just give me enough data, and I can pretty soon contextualize what's going on and almost read the minds of those who are doing it. So I had to write another book in order to, because I saw what phase two was. Phase one was the chemical trails. They were ionizing the atmosphere for the sake of these ionospheric heaters, and how they were going into the ionosphere, sending radio waves in there and stirring up the ionosphere so that it would produce more ions, and then drawing that down into our atmosphere in order to, in a sense, turn our atmosphere into a mini ionosphere, and to keep it ionized for all the wireless operations that the military wanted to run. That would be DARPA. That would be all the branches of the U.S. military. That would be NATO. This was as far as my research extended. I couldn't get enough good stuff on China, Russia, every place, India, because we just don't get the same news that they get. So I wrote the book. I had met through the book when I was on Coast to Coast Radio. I had been contacted by a man named Billy Hayes, and Billy was a tower erector who worked all his life from the time he was 8 years old for a three-letter agency whose name I will not mention. And Billy had been up in all these operations to create many, many phased array antennas, towers, you name it, as they were wiring basically the entire globe. And Billy knew a lot about how it's constructed to work as one big machine. And so through many conversations with Billy, and we went on radio shows together, I, of course, listened very carefully to what he said. Sometimes I took my own way because it was not something that Billy was skilled in. And eventually got the second book done. In 2016, I finished the book, but it was delayed by my publisher for 2 years. And I still don't know why. But it's called Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. And it came out in 2018, spring. So that book lays out how this whole planet has been weaponized. And many people think of the geoengineering as something that's just coming out now, and gee whiz, too bad we have to do it, because it's kind of risky, folks. No, we've had geoengineering, this brand of geoengineering, for two decades. And we've had cloud seeding and many manipulations of the ionosphere, the magnetosphere, the lower atmosphere, and many tests on human beings on the planet without their consent or knowledge. We've had this since, at least World War II, if not before, and all throughout the Cold War. So can the people who run this country, can the military that has sworn to protect Americans here, can they lie to us? Can they deceive us in order to do what they feel is more important than we are? Yes, they certainly can. And that's what I attempt to expose through these books and all the talks I do, all the radio interviews, is to awaken people to what this program really is, because it's about a lot more than the weather.
Okay, so that's an introduction to Elena Breeman. And Mark, why don't you carry on, because you know a lot more about her than I do.
Sure. Just going to go to the my tablet here, the screen. So she was in my neck of the woods Saturday. She's doing a California speaking tour. So where I saw her was this Live Aware conference, which is a living healthy in a toxic world conference. Is about find out how to reduce toxins in your life, home and body. body's immune system in an ever-increasing toxic world, how to minimize toxins in the home, support your immune system, and this year's sub-focus is the air around you. Understanding what you can't see in the air and how you can support your health in a toxic world. And so for those who don't know Ilana's short bio here, she's a writer and speaker and teacher, writes on deep state issues, stories of MKUltra, ritual abuse, EMF, weapon invasion. She's best known for chemtrails, HARP, full spectrum dominance on planet Earth. She does have a couple of books in the Feral House Publishing. And to note, the publisher who's now recently passed, did ask her specifically to write about chemtrails, because I know people in occult circles or fringe ideas hold Adam Parfrey in high regard. So why would he ask her to write about this conspiracy theory topic, which it isn't? But anyway, she's writing her third book currently on the geoengineering, synthetic biology, and transhumanism. So I know she does cover a lot of topics and that seem kind of out there, but here in the chat room, I posted John Brennan, and people can find this on YouTube, a Council of Foreign Relations talk by, so if you YouTube keyword search CIA Director John O. Brennan about chemtrails, where he goes in detail about this. Pretty matter of fact. So part of it, the quote here, he says, another example is the array of technologies often referred to collectively as geoengineering that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI. And it goes on. I'm just reading the description, but people can find that on YouTube easily. So anyway, the reason I went to see Ilana, because she talked about EMFs and how all of this correlates to geoengineering, transhumanism, and those topics I talked about. And my ultimate goal was to give her Nancy's book, Shungite Reality, because we know Shungite does help. And we've talked about nanobiotech before on the show and how geometrically formed versions of Shungite does help with it. But so I went to see her talk. Let me see what her talk was about. Scrolling down here. So she talked about geoengineering the environment to a bioengineered transhumanist future. And you can read this in the Live Aware site, but just to give a little bit, the synergy of the EMF effects of the smart city 5G millimeter waves and phased array antennas and the Internet of Things, coupled with ionized atmosphere, challenges us to figure out how to remain healthy and meaningful lives. So even for those who missed the talk, it was only an hour. But her latest talk on YouTube is 3 hours, which is a more expanded version of what I saw. So she has the slides and documentation people can go see, which is amazing. You know, because I paid $100 just to see her talk. Because the other talk I was going to go see was canceled. Lena Poo, who you guys featured on Radio 5G. So anyway, I got to meet her and found out that she does use Shungite. She had a bracelet, in fact, at the book signing after the talk. And she does drink Shungite water. And she's promoted Shungite a lot on her Facebook group, which is called Under an Ionized Sky. And I gave her Nancy's book and Derek's cards, like his business card, the Beehive stuff. And I think she's up in Washington. But people can go check that out. But I like getting into this deep stuff of basically how everybody has nanobiotech in them. In this advanced MK Ultra type of control, she calls it EMK Ultra, and the whole thing about targeted individuals she goes into, and people being activated. So pretty heavy topic stuff. But in relation to 5G, this all connects with the geoengineering the metals, and we know 5G, everybody becomes like an antenna, to the point where if you go to a 5G city, it's harmful if you're wearing piercings, jewelry, and have tattoos because of the, you know, the metal content. But with all of us having this nanobiotech in us due to the geoengineering, and people can find this just using a microscope in like all foods, and stuff's everywhere. And as far as other solutions, she does recommend Tony Pentelaresco, who I listen to weekly. He's amazing. Also talks about 5G, 6G, and offers simple solutions, herbal and otherwise. But anyways, yeah, I'm kind of rambling on. Maybe you guys can chime in.
I'm jotting a note down. Tony, do you say Pelesco?
Yeah, it's a weird spelling. So I'll pull it up in the group, or let me go to my notes here. I'll spell his last name. Where do I have it? So first name is Tony. Last name is Pantelaresco. He talks mostly about nanobiotech, transhumanism, and where I heard about the details of 6G and 7G, 7G being tested in India, where you are the internet. It's the internet of the body. You're the cell phone or what have you. And 6G, his take on that was there was a clip of in Wuhan of somebody just like collapsing. And he was saying a video clip he posted. And so his site is so you take the word independent and then take out the word, the letters E and T, and put a Z. So independs.podbean.com. And that's his main site for, he does like 3 free podcasts a week and has tons of links on this nano stuff that Elena talks about. So she's constantly referencing him as far as detoxing solutions, how to get this stuff out of our body. But anyway, yeah, she was really friendly when I met her, and was all about Shungite. And really amazing talk. Everybody can see, you know, on YouTube. Yeah, so I don't know. You guys want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I'll definitely be looking into it. Yeah, I want to check that out and get some more information, of course. Do you have anything else topic-wise, Nancy, you wanted to bring up?
Well, she, I listened to an hour segment of hers, and she does. She just tells a story, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, and she brings in all the parts, and she does see the full picture of it. And you would think that knowing what she knows and talking about it all the time, that it would be a very unnerving position to be in, and yet she said, I am just thrilled to be here. Now, and the reason for that is because she apparently has had a large amount of training and encounters into the esoteric realm, Steiner for one. And so when she first started out, her first 2 books were very scientific. But now this next book that she's writing is going to get more into, you know, what does this mean? And I just am so happy to see other people who say, oh my God, this is terrible, but it's really good because it's bringing us all together and causing us to go to another level of consciousness, of awareness that, you know, reality is what we create by our very thoughts. So when and I had heard of her, like I say, I knew she was, you know, very popular. I just hadn't had any time to listen to her. So I thank you, Mark. And the reason I wanted to make sure we did this was because there are a lot of unbelievable people out there who have been out there for a while. And we all sort of have to know who are the players, who's got it. Because inevitably, even though they're talking things that can be very scary, they're also talking hope and a sense of joy and love. So we need to be able to expand not just what we know, but who we know talking about this. No, I'm kind of finished, if you guys are. I just wanted to introduce her.
Yeah, I could go off on that a little bit. So her recent book, I think it's called Under an Ionized Sky, came out a couple of years ago. The new book, which is more about the nanobiotech, synthetic biology, transhumanism, no release date yet. She's hoping sometime this year, but she has hours upon hours of interviews, podcast, and she's done a lot lately, I think, in promoting her California talk. But yeah, that 3-hour talk should cover everybody. There was a concern in terms of somebody posted in Cosmic Reality, which relates to this, that is shungite a type of nanotube or tubule? I'm trying to find... So this is by Annette Trinidad, who posted in Cosmic Reality. Is shungite a nanotube? Can a Tesla coil control all of us who are now saturated in shungite? Please let me know what you think. And she posted some YouTube video. But this relates to what Tony Pantelresco talks about, that C60, and he mentioned this on a recent show of his this month, that I think he's talking about the man-made C60 lodges in people's spine and brainstem, and it's used as an antenna for these EMFs and, you know, what have you, EMK Ultra types, which Alana calls the laptop boys. So I don't know if you guys can go off on that.
Well, Dr. Richard Miller has said that, you know, they basically can put a, because it's an envelope, or the C60 is an envelope, that they can put some kind of a gas thing in there, and you would be taking all this molecules with this little gas thing, and with the right frequency, it could be exploded. Derek, isn't that the way you explained it? Do you remember?
That sure sounded. That sums it up.
Yeah. So, remember, we, Cosmic Reality, are not talking chemistry. We have always talked energy. So when you're using our formula of 3 nuggets in a water pitcher or glass, you're talking energy. You're not talking drinking C60. One. Two, the C60 is cosmically made. It's made perfectly in outer space. Human beings have not mucked with it. So there's nothing in it except cosmic energy. And there's no nanotechnology associated with the C60. A C60 molecule by itself. But that's what the problem is you got human beings making a C60, and even their intent, even the fact that they are unhappy, it is energetically put in there. But on top of that, they're putting in 3D nanotechnology that is really weaponized, either for surveillance and control or for population control. So shungite is not going to hurt you. You cannot, just because you're in a shungite, for heaven's sakes, shungite puts out an energy field where you can, nothing negative can happen. You know, the field itself will not allow a, let me say, any kind of a frequency that is harmful to life. It just doesn't happen. So, no, shungite will protect you from control more so than ever be controlled. But at the 3D realm, the shungite C60 is, there's very little of it in the shungite. You don't need much of it. It's not like if you're eating the powder, you're eating a whole bunch of C60. No, and even if you are, you know, that's not C60 man-made. It's C60 God-made. Got anything, Derek?
No, I agree with you, though, on the whole, as far as it being completely different beasts. It's like saying GMO compared to organic. I mean, just completely different. Consider the source, because, you know, the C60 molecule that's in shungite, of course, isn't pre-programmed or anything put literally inside of it, which does happen in other cases sometimes. It's a good, think etheric stem cells almost. It is what you need it to be. And no, it's not going to do any harm or negativity against you. But in fact, it's just the opposite, of course, help you remove it, the excess, the overage, lots of ways of looking at it. And the bees have even shown that, as well as humans, for years now. So, no, it's, I don't shy away from shungite's use in any form, really.
Yeah, my angle is it, and with it is what Derek also echoed last week in the show, where the lab-made C60, there's an intent behind that. You don't know the intent that people put into things, you know, C60, from like the people who transported up until those who made it. And then it's understandable that newbies can be worried and concerned, especially because I noted Nancy's background of being the NSA equivalent of the Army, her, you know, and she's elaborated this over the years, being in Army intelligence and the kind of black ops, deep black stuff she's been into. But it, how this can differentiate is one's level of awareness, the stratification of solutions offered by those who have multidimensional awareness versus those who don't. They're just stuck in this material, not stuck, but, you know, just what's the evidence, what's the data, give me the physical 3D stuff only, rather than the shamanic angle, which is like Shungite has a sentience, which, you know, Walt has talked about over the years, cosmic reality, people have access to those archives. But one can personally communicate with this and this awareness, even in dreams. That's how what I first got into the deeper aspects of, you know, Shungite, that you can communicate with this entity. Just doing simple visual intent, reaching out before going to bed, you know. So anyway, in terms of the level of awareness, you know, because we get information and data from different sources and kind of use what's practical and applicable to get results. So to me, there's a difference with, I call it doomsday tech versus golden age tech, which is us going into the next, the new earth. And Walt talks about this, always referencing Inelia Benz, her teachings of getting grounded and how the world is awakening and what to do to take advantage about with it personally. And it seems those who only have 3D awareness of the material plane, you know, are stuck in the doomsday tech where they have solutions, but it's extremely limited. And I know you guys have talked about this before, that there's no like level of expansion other than just 3D stuff. If you can go ahead on those things, your take on it.
My feeling is that we wouldn't be in the situation. It's like Elena said, she's thrilled to be here because it, if you look at the game we're playing, it's very dangerous. But, and she gets into this. She said, well, you know, why are they so concerned about controlling the consciousness of humanity? What scares them? We scare them. And so if we scare them, then we know that we can overpower, we can change. And by overpower, we're so strong, we don't have to go to war. All we have to do is focus our energy on a different reality, as Anelia alludes to, that it's the focus of our energy. Reality is what we think it is. Majority rules. Well, it's not just majority of how many people, it's how much energy are you putting out there to bring in the new reality. So you got one reality that says a meteor hit the, came in and hit the atmosphere and blew up. It was just a, you know, normal thing. Every, you know, they fall on Russia all the time. Or you can look at it from a purely knowledgeable metaphysician looking at the 3D and getting a metaphysical quantum explanation for what happened. It's your choice what story to follow. If you choose that it's just a meteorite and nothing happened and nothing's going to change and we're still doomed, well, that's the energy you're putting into that reality. If you're putting it into, wow, you know, we just got some more energy to work with, something that's going to make us better. And that it's somehow tied to things we're already doing, because this stuff wouldn't be allowed if we weren't already prepared for it. You know, did it occur because Walt made that device and then I put it under a microphone and then we explained about etheric? And yes, that's just as real a story as it was just something that fell from the sky. So we're at 5 minutes. You guys got some final thoughts about, we've had an interesting show. Sure covered a lot.
Yeah, we've been all kinds of topics. I love your last explanation too, because I completely agree. Yeah. No, but Mark, did you have any questions or anything that maybe we didn't get to from some of the Facebook groups or anything?
No, I just like surfing the wave of where this is going. So there's a lot of things to bounce off of. Where Alana has a lot of, I don't know, harrowing and like pretty deep stuff that people have a mind break reaction to. But again, of Shungite being the armor of God, there was that term. And then the meteorite coming from the mind of God, like what Nancy was talking about, as ideas to play with and, you know, taken to the next level. But I like the example that Michael Henry Dunn gave last week in Radio 5G, that it only takes one person with the access and awareness. And the example he gave was Joan of Arc, where this one person just did so much. And we have that access to source or those abilities. Yeah, so just wanted to add that.
So we've run out of things to talk about, have we? We got 4 minutes left.
Oh, no, I could go off on other stuff.
Go ahead. We got 4 minutes.
Yeah. So when I attended the Elena talk, and again, the 3-hour talk, I want to revisit because I don't know how to access if I have to that 1-hour talk from Saturday. But one of the things she mentioned was DEWs and all of this doomsday tech, and that it was some of it was taken from Tesla, and you know how you guys go off on that in the Cosmic Reality Show. And it was an interesting note. She mentioned that the president's uncle, John Trump, did have access to those papers and had confiscated them or something like that. Nancy, maybe you can
yes, when Tesla died in the New York hotel, okay, within... You know, before they had, virtually almost before they found the body, they had the black suits there. And John Trump, Donald's uncle, whom he was very, very close with, was called in to look at the documents and see if they were something that should be, you know, confiscated by the government. Well, they were confiscated by the government, but according to John, well, there wasn't anything in there of importance. Of course there was. And the other thing is that recently researchers have discovered that he had foot lockers full of documents that were hidden inside the lower echelons of the hotel where you've got all your machinery and stuff. And where did they go? You know, so, yeah, definitely. Definitely Trump knows about Tesla.
Yeah, because in his speech, in the inauguration speech, he talked about bringing back tech. And I know you went off on the DEW aspect of the 9/11 attacks and how that was, like, all over the place. Oh, the thing with John Trump is, what's your take on his appearance similar to Julian Assange? Because there were these imposition pictures, and they look very alike. And there's this idea of them being time traveler, him being a time traveler or something. But that was kind of interesting thing.
I haven't seen that. I have not seen that. But we have to close down the show here. Thank you both so very much. It's been a fun ride today. And would you like to say goodnight to the audience?
Thanks, Nancy. It was fun. Thanks, Derek.
Yep. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Great time.
And remember, the code that you need is SAVE10. And you'll get 10% off in all of the CosmicReality.net or MysticalWares.net or CosmicReality.net, which is the new store, but you can get through CosmicReality.net for it. Be safe, everybody. We thank you. And until next time. You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.